Well, over the last 5 weeks, we've been talking about church strategy. And the verse that we have taken our strategy from in the beginning was Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. So five cords or five areas that I've been calling us to stretch out and lengthen. And four areas or four stakes to strengthen that we will get to in the summer. So today is the last of the five cords or five areas of ministry that we want to lengthen or do more in or grow in. So the five cords have been, number one, prayer. We need to pray more strategically, and we need to pray more together. We do a lot of praying by sending on WhatsApp and maybe in our small groups, but our praying together needs to happen more, and it needs to undergird everything that we do. Prayer is the support for all of the other activities or the other things that we would do. So, have to get number one right. We can't proclaim the gospel, which is number two, if we don't pray. Proclamation of the gospel, we looked at the fact that we are obligated to those around us. We're obligated to share the gospel. We owe it to them. If God has been so gracious to give me the gospel, then I owe it to the people around me, not to keep it to myself. We should pray for God to give us an eagerness to share, and also an unashamed heart to share. Probably none of us are there. That's why we need to pray and ask God to do that. I know I do. We must pray toward that and work toward that, asking God to give us hearts to obey Him. So number one was prayer. Number two was proclamation of the gospel. Number three is parents and children. In week three, we looked at lengthening our cord in that area to disciple our own children well, and then also to lengthen that cord to reach out to the parents and children around us in this community to influence them and to share with them, develop ministries for them. Discipleship goes above education. We should disciple our own kids before we're concerned so much about their education. And we should learn to disciple the families around us. We have a great opportunity where we are for that. Number four is planting multiplying small groups. We talked about that last week. Looked at life transformation groups, which we'll have a meeting today during lunch for that. How is it that we're going to make disciples? We're going to make disciples by getting people in relationships with one another, reading the Bible together, praying together, holding each other accountable in groups of twos or threes. So we must obey Jesus' commands to one another, to do those one another's with each other. We can't accomplish that depth of community in this room alone. We have to do it outside of this. If we're not careful, we won't make disciples as a church. We can easily get stuck in a cycle of forever equipping, attending Bible studies over and over and over and over again, learning and never making a disciple, never reproducing ourselves and teaching people to go do it. Life transformation groups is how we want to do that. So today we come to the fifth and final cord that we want to lengthen, and that is the area of global missions, or what we are calling panta ta ethne. So you see them there, prayer, proclamation of gospel, parents and children, planting small groups that multiply, and then panta ta ethne. That's not English, by the way. It's not Chinese, not Tibetan, not any other language. It's Greek. It is the Greek phrase for all the nations. All the nations. as in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm asking that you will move by your Holy Spirit in a way that I cannot make happen. I know you do that. Thank you, Lord, for 22 years ago when I sat in a Sunday school classroom and someone shared with me the need to go to the nations, and you did something. And I've never been the same. I pray that you would do that in some people this morning. Open our eyes that we might see what a great privilege it is to be a part of your team to reach the nations. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Clearwater Bay International Baptist Church has missions in its DNA. 25 years ago, a man named Dick Lusk, who wasn't from this city, wasn't from this country, he wasn't Chinese, he planted this church. He left his home in the 1960s, left his family, not his wife and kids, but his rest of his family, his language behind, and following the call of God, packed up his wife and children and his few belongings and traveled to this part of the world. Sounded funny to pack up his wife, didn't it? His wife actually flew in a seat on the plane, I'm guessing. It seems every pastor that CBIBC, now as far as I can tell, it seems that every pastor that CBIBC has ever had has done something very similar. That I can tell by looking at the history, I think just about every pastor at CBIBC was a man who had left his family and kindred and moved to another place to serve the Lord. It's my prayer that in the future, some of you will follow in those exact same footsteps and go somewhere yourself. It's time for CBIBC to not just receive missionaries, but launch missionaries. Brothers and sisters from this church who we will lay hands on, we will send them out to go and make disciples among the nations. I'm not saying you've never done that, but I'm saying we need to lengthen that cord. To leave Hong Kong, purposefully go to a place that needs Jesus, an ethnic group that has little or no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here in Hong Kong, we have many unbelievers. There are millions of people in Hong Kong probably that have no relationship with Jesus Christ. But if they woke up in Hong Kong tomorrow morning and they said, "I want to know about Jesus," they would likely be able to find a church, be able to find a Bible online or on their phone. They would have access. They might know another Christian or be able to find a BSF Bible study or some kind of ministry where they could become a Christian. They have access to the gospel. So the issue in Hong Kong for us here is for the local churches to do what's called evangelism. For us to go and tell the people. It's our responsibility as churches in this city to reach the city. It's not the responsibility of missionaries to come to Hong Kong to reach Hong Kong. It's the responsibility of the Christians in Hong Kong to reach Hong Kong. Missions is going where there is little or no access to the gospel or an insufficient number of people to reach that place with the good news. Let me say that again. Missions is going where there is little or no access to the gospel or an insufficient number of people to reach that place with the good news. There are 3 billion people in the world, about 3 billion people in the world, who have little or no access to the good news. There are hundreds of millions who, if they woke up tomorrow morning and wanted to know about Jesus Christ, they would have a very, very, very hard time finding a Christian or finding a church. They don't know a believer. They wouldn't be able to download a Bible or find a Bible bookstore, no Christian radio, no one on the streets handing out flyers to them. Little or no access to the good news. So take a look at the screen. So a lot of those people in the world would be made up like this. About 2.9% tribals, people who live in, you know, a small village in the mountains, a tribal society, about two, by the way, that's thumb, that's how you can remember it, thumb. Tribals, Hindus, unreligious, Muslims, Buddhists. Hindus, about 15% would be Hindus in the world, about 19% unreligious. A lot of those would be in the communist countries, atheistic countries nearby. Muslims, 22%, and Buddhists, 9%. So these are people who have little or no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can send you these slides if you want them, but let's just look at the status of where we are in the world today. So over here, this level zero is what's called unengaged. That means no one's trying. No one is even trying to reach these ethnic groups around the world. No evangelical Christians or churches, no access to print media, no access to audio, visual, or human resources, unless perhaps they've got a VPN or they can get on the internet somehow to do that. That's about 400 ethnic groups in the world that would be unengaged, about 9 million people worldwide. 9 million people worldwide who are out there waiting. Level one would be what's called unreached people groups, less than 2% evangelical. Some resources available, but no church planting. In the last 2 years, no church planting. So a lot of times even a church, maybe like ours, will adopt an unreached people group, and yet after a while people become not that involved or not so interested anymore, and the church is trying to engage them falls away. That is a number of 922 million people in the world, 4,500 ethnic groups around the world. This is a huge, huge category where people need to go. This is emergency level. This is a level of absolute necessity. Some Christians, but very few. And then level two, unreached, means in the last 2 years, people have started to plant churches, but it still has had little or no effort. So this is no church planting happened in the last 2 years. This is church planting has happened in the last 2 years. This is nothing is happening. So you see, 2.8 billion people, that's a lot of people. 2.8 billion people, 6,000 and so or so ethnic groups in the world. So why should we care? Why should we care? Zeke, you want to go to the next slide? Hong Kong is pretty close to a lot of the areas of the world that would be considered unreached or unengaged. Did you know, if you get to go to HKG, the airport out here, you go to the airport in Hong Kong and you get on an airplane and you fly 5 hours in any direction, half the world's population is in that 5 hours by plane. So do you think God has been gracious to Hong Kong for a reason? We are strategically located Indonesia, obviously the places north of us in the mountains, Southeast Asia, India, Burma, Nepal, Bhutan, Central Asia. We are in a really good spot to try to make a dent in the lostness of the world. What about where do the missionaries go in the world? You have that on the screen? Missionaries worldwide? 74% of missionaries worldwide go to areas that are already Christian. So most missionaries go to places that already have a significant Christian influence. Only 3% of missionaries go to Buddhists. 8% go to tribals, 2% go to Hindus, 6% go to Muslims, 4% non-religious, 1% Jewish. So there's something wrong, isn't there? Probably what's mostly wrong is fear, courage, guts, and willing to lay down your life and go down, because a lot of those areas would be more poor than you might live economically. They might be more difficult learning a language. They might be more difficult to reach. Might be hard to understand. Oh, Buddhism, how do I understand that? How do I share with those people? So the truth is, most people go to easier places. What about languages in the world that need the scripture? 7,097 Chabadur living languages. This is from Wycliffe Bible Translators. So about 7,000 living languages, meaning like Latin's not a living language, that people don't speak it in everyday life, only in formal occasions. 636 languages. 636 out of those 7,000 have the whole Bible. This is whole Bible. Okay? This is just NT. That's just the New Testament, which, by the way, is not the whole Bible. Just New Testament, 1,400 or so. Portions. This is just like the Gospel of John. They've got the Gospel of John, but they don't have the Gospel of Luke. Or they've got Romans, but they don't have Galatians. There's a bunch. And languages, according to Wycliffe, who really knows their stuff, 38 languages in the world have nothing. Not even a copy of the book of Nahum. No one's translated the Psalms or anything. Nothing. So you can see that we are in a state in the world where there's a lot of work to do. So what is CBIBC going to do about that? What is CBIBC going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? What am I going to do about that? Should we do something? So why do I include this in a church strategy? So when it comes to church strategy, we could be thinking about a lot of things, but why talk about this? Do we really have a responsibility to the nations? Well, let's look at some Bible. Not Psalm 67. Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make His face to shine upon us, that His ways may be known on earth, His saving power among all nations. Let all the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. All the peoples. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity, and You guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. If we do this, let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Declare His glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Little g. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. The Lord made the heavens. Psalm 97, 6 through 7. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. All worshipers of images are put to shame, who make their boast in worthless idols. Worship him, all you gods. That's the cry. That's the missionary cry to proclaim to the world that idols, money, anything else is not God, but he is God. Matthew chapter 28, we read, go therefore and make disciples of what? Pontata ethne, all the nations. All the nations. Matthew 24, 14, Jesus said, the gospel of the kingdom. Now think about this. The gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world. It will happen as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. So you want to hurry up? Jesus is coming. We want to make him come quicker. We need to go to the nations. Luke 24, 46 and 47, he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are my witnesses of these things. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Revelation 7:9. This is not now. This is in the future. This hasn't happened yet, but it's going to be a reality. And so we're in the middle of the fulfillment of God. God is fulfilling his promises, and we get to be a part of that. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes, all peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That will happen. But will we be a part of that? If we claim Jesus as Lord, we are already called to join him in his kingdom agenda. The key word there is Lord. If we claim Jesus as Lord, we are already called to join him in his kingdom agenda. Let me ask you a few questions. As a Christian, do you or I have a good reason for not going to the mission field? Has God specifically called you to stay? You see, what we do, we assume the normal thing to do is stay, and the exceptional people go. I think the scripture points to the normal thing is to be going, and we better have a good reason why we stay. Ian Keith Falconer said this, while vast continents are shrouded in darkness, the burden of proof lies upon you to show that the circumstances in which God has placed you were meant by God to keep you out of the foreign mission field. But many of us are waiting on a calling. But don't you see that we are all called to join Him in reaching the nations? It's not about if we are called. The question is, how will you be a part? Or where will you be a part? Let me say that again. It's not about if we are called. It's about what role will you play? Or how will you be a part? Will you be someone who stays and then uses your resources to help send and pray and mobilize? Or will you be a goer on the front lines, learning a language, translating, sharing with people, a tent maker? We're all called. We're not all called to the same task. So what is the role that He has called you to? For some of us, it is a question of, have we surrendered our entire life to Jesus Christ or not? Have we surrendered our entire life to Jesus Christ or not? Or are we holding back in a few areas? Jesus, I'll follow you as long as it's not that. Jesus, I'll follow you as long as you don't ask me to do this. So maybe some of us need, let's just say this. There are many places in countries that some of you are from that are unengaged and unreached. There are places in some of the countries where folks in this room are from that are unengaged and unreached. Like mainland China, like India. You can take a job there, go there and work, and take a job strategically close to some of those areas. Instead of picking this city, which might be so nice, maybe pick this city because that's close. You see, it's about a strategic mindset, shaping your whole life around God's mission. Shaping everything you do, where you work, where you live, about His plan, around His agenda, and saying, I am yours. My job is yours. Everything is yours. And pour out your life there. CBIBC will support you and pray for you and visit you and help you in any way that we can. Why not? Why not? Mainland China. If not you, then who? If not now, then when? Some of us maybe need to consider going to an unreached place somewhere else in the world. That place maybe God is calling you to, Burma or India or Pakistan or Japan, Indonesia. A place in the world where there are people that desperately need the gospel. We've given money for years to missions. We've been faithful to send people out short term, some people long term. We've been faithful to pray. But we need to lengthen this cord. Lengthen this cord. Are you willing? I am willing. Lastly, one of the things I want to call our church to specifically is this, is to collectively pray about our church, not just you and you and you and you and us all doing our own things and missions, but our church collectively as a people, taking one of those places, those peoples in the world that are unengaged or unreached, that are on a list. If you want the list, I can give you the list. It's a big file. And us saying, as a people, Clearwater Bay International Baptist Church, we will do whatever we have to do to erase one of those from the list. Wouldn't that be a worthwhile thing to do? Wouldn't that be a worthwhile thing to do? We could spin our wheels until Jesus comes if we want to. Or we can be focused and we can erase an ethnic group and move it from unengaged to unreached, and move it from unreached to reached. Why not? We can say together, we will try to reach them. We will pray. We will partner with those who are trying to reach them as well. We will go. We will send out our own people. We will visit them. We will support them. We will lengthen this cord as a united front to do that. I'll close with a story. Two men who I greatly admire. In 1732, let that sink in. In 1732, two young Moravians, if you don't know where Moravia is, it's Eastern Germany, border Czechoslovakia, in that area. Two young Moravians named Johann Dober and David Nietzschmann, they heard about an island in the Caribbean, in the West Indies, where there was an atheist British landowner who had 2,000 to 3,000 slaves. And the owner was a pretty rough guy, and he said, "No preacher, no clergyman will ever stay on this island. If he is shipwrecked, we'll keep him in a separate house until he is to leave, but he is never going to talk to anybody here about God. I am through with this nonsense." 3,000 slaves from Africa who had never heard the gospel, brought to an island in the Atlantic and there to live and die without hearing of Christ. They toiled in the sugarcane fields under the burning sun. The only way you could go to that island was to be a slave. These two young Germans had met one of those slaves that had escaped in Germany. So Johann and David met one of these guys in Moravia. These guys were in their 20s, and their church was pretty focused. And they said, "We'll be willing to sell ourselves into slavery if we can go reach them for Christ, if necessary." They ended up not having to sell themselves into slavery. You might find online that they did. They never sold themselves into slavery. One of them was a carpenter, and one was a potter. And so they worked their trade a little bit there on that island and shared about Jesus Christ. They had to travel. They didn't raise money. The Moravians gave them just a little bit of money to go. They didn't have a whole lot. And they worked until they raised enough money to buy a passage on a ship from Copenhagen, Denmark. And as they went there, some of the people traveled all the way over there to see them off. And they bought a one-way ticket, probably to never return again. A lot of people who ever went to the West Indies never came out alive again. Was their extreme sacrifice wise? Was it necessary for them to do? Well, to them it was. As the ship slipped away from the docks, and the gap widened, and the young man, the two young, Johann and David, they linked arms, and they raised their hands in the air, and they shouted out to their friends across the gap of the water these words: May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of His suffering. And many people heard of Jesus on those islands, and the gospel spread all over the West Indies. You know why? Because two men tried. They tried. Let's pray together. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I pray that You would take every ounce of me and every ounce of all of us and cause that we would have a sold-outness. That we would not care about our lives so much. We wouldn't care so much about having nice stuff and cars and apartments and settling in way too much in this world. You would give us that same kind of missionary spirit like Nietzschmann and Dober had, just to say, I'll do whatever, but may the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of His suffering. That we would go. Lord, would you take our church and make it, and give it the Moravian spirit who sent out more missionaries than we can count. Just a small church in the middle of Czechoslovakia sending out missionaries in the 1700s. Many of them never coming home. Would you mobilize Clearwater Bay International Baptist Church for Your glory? Pray, Lord, we wouldn't say the words of Moses, send somebody else. But we would say the words of Isaiah, here am I, send me. Lord, do that work in my own heart. Pray in Christ's name, amen. You go to the next slide. I want to call you today to a commitment. I'm not asking you to do anything. I don't have any blank checks. Surely my signature would not be right and they wouldn't accept it anyway. But a friend of mine, our church in America, laid hands on 12 people one time and sent them to Central Asia, a family with 5 kids. And one of the things that my friend Scott said was, he said, you know, God has laid before my life a blank check. God decides the date. God decides where, and God decides the amount I must pay. My job is to sign my name. You know, that's true. I think it's about lordship. It's about lordship. This is what it means for Jesus to be Lord, church. We sign our name. Jesus is Lord. He calls all the shots. He tells us where we go. He tells us when we go. He tells us if we are to pay with our blood, sweat and tears, whatever. And He tells us the place that we are assigned to. It's all about lordship. So I challenge you to think through that. This week, maybe we should lay hands on a lot of people. It'd be great if our numbers decrease for that reason.